What's up?
What's up, everyone?
What's up?
Welcome to Street Smart Christian.
Yeah.
Yep.
I am joined by my two esteemed colleagues. Couple of dumpster
All right,
muppets.
Start over. Couple of dumpster muppets.
Wow.
Whoa. What's going on with you?
Oh, dude.
Guys, ready for the holidays?
It's yeah. Right around the corner.
It man. Is. It's less than a week. No.
Yeah, well.
Kind of.
Count the weekend. It's about a week.
Yeah.
You ready for that? You guys got your gifts all bought?
Kind of, sort of.
Yeah, pretty much for the most part.
You?
No.
Are you a last minute shopper?
No.
You're just not buying anything this year?
No.
Do you ever say yes? No.
No, my wife does all of our shopping.
Oh, so you don't have to worry about
Dang,
it.
Dude. Mm-hmm.
Mainly because my wife has all the money.
Okay.
Because last week nobody scanned a QR code.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. It makes a difference. So thank you.
Are you How many audience? Scans a week would you think you get on average?
I don't know. It doesn't tell you. Doesn't tell you. I mean, maybe some people, but most people that donate are people that I know. So I think
it tells you who donated.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Unless you choose to like be anonymous,
I don't know if it has that option because you get a paperwork as a tax write off for donating to a ministry. So it's the same thing. Like if you tithe here at church, Living Word sends a tax document at the end of the year.
Really?
And it has a total of everything that you tithed. If you write a check, if you give cash, then nobody
knows. Yeah, cash ain't accountable.
But everybody who writes a check at the end of the year, Bob sends out a tax form that you can use on your taxes.
Wow.
It's the same thing for donating to a ministry. So everybody who donated to me via their credit card or check is going to get a piece of paper at the end of the year that has a total of what they donated, and they can write it off on their taxes.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. I didn't know that at all.
So if I donate Vietnamese dong, how will that
be? You're not going to get anything. You're not going to get nothing.
Still need to do that.
Theo donated.
I did. Nice. I did.
I'm just going to hit crickets right now.
Did you, Brandon?
No, but Mestis Automotive does.
Oh, yeah. Okay, then we're good. We're covered.
No, he works there. You don't work
there. It's got my name in it.
I guess it doesn't say Mestis Automotive. It says Dave and Shannon. So,
their company?
No, it just has their name.
So do they both get tax write-offs?
They file their taxes together. So when you're married, you file joint. Yeah. You guys take your son to see Santa Claus?
Me?
You're the only one in the room who has
You guys.
Son. I said, did you take your son to go see Santa Claus?
I haven't had him yet, so this month. I had him on the weekend, but we were busy.
Are you gonna go see Santa Claus?
Sure.
We took
Ella. If he wants to, I mean, I don't know if he wants to.
I think you can till like you're 8 or something.
So he has one more year to do it.
Or 8 or 9. I don't know what the cutoff is.
This is the last time you can go see Santa in the mall.
Why you got to go to the mall?
Where did you go?
We went to the Buffalo Ranch in Lyman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it real Santa?
Yeah, it was real Santa.
How do you know it was real Santa?
Because he flew in a sleigh.
No, I'm actually, I'll ask him. I mean, we're so busy on the weekends. He's got a wrestling tournament this Saturday in Denver. So we'll be up there most of the day.
Hmm.
And then dude, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a guy thing in a room full of guys here. Decorating? Does that sound like fun?
Well, I enjoy younger. It sometimes, but.
You enjoyed it when you were younger?
Yeah, I enjoyed just seeing it because it was something different and shiny and bright.
No, putting it up, decorating, doing it.
I guess, yeah.
So he wants to do that. And I'm like, yeah, sure, buddy.
Maybe he just wants the holiday spirit.
I know, yeah.
And you're just shooting him down.
Well, I tell her, I don't say no. I don't know. It's been a few years. It's been, I think this is like the fourth year now where I just like, you got a tree at Mimi's house. That's where we'll go for Christmas. I know, I'm kind of a Scrooge now.
Hmm.
Not intentionally.
Does everybody buy everybody gifts in your family or do you draw names?
I don't draw names.
Do you have to buy a gift for Brandon and Christina and your mom and your dad?
No, like the last few years we haven't done that. I mean, I did.
But or do you do like, do you do the white elephant thing?
I did it, but none of them did.
All right. Do you do like white? So like,
and they kind of try to do it this year.
My mom's side of the family, the Norvals, we go. And growing up, it used to be kind of a white elephant thing, and then they would do like.
Why has it got to be a white elephant?
I don't know why. It's just what they call it, I guess.
Oh.
And then they had what was called like they would do gag gifts for the adult.
That could get a little dicey.
Yeah. I remember even as a kid. But then now all we do now is everybody buys a $10 lottery ticket. But you know what? And then they have this game where everybody's got it, their ticket. And then everybody passed it to the left 3 times and then to the right 4 times. And it all goes along with this Christmas game. Toward the end of it, you didn't have the same ticket.
What if you did?
I mean, I guess if it works out that way, but it's like,
it's all
pass it. Yeah. And then at the end, whatever you have in your hand, then you go scratch the ticket. And I never win. And then I just want to go home.
Who's won the most?
I think the most anybody's won so far is like $100, I think.
Dang. Wow. Who won that?
I don't remember because I wanted to go home. I didn't want to have fun anymore. I'm like, oh man, daddy's got to buy some Christmas gifts. Nothing.
No, I think last year, we did the whole like white elephant thing where you
steal and
$15 to $20, you buy a present.
Yeah, and put it in a pile. Nobody knows where it came from.
You can steal it twice or once. And I think we're doing the same thing this year too.
Yeah.
Then Jax, he'll get all the gifts.
Would it be funny if they did white elephants to those kids too, where you could either like they open a gift and like,
yes, so many fights.
I love Spider-Man, and then you stole. And then you traded. They got like bars of soap.
Candles. That's cold.
And they're just like. Because they were already playing, taking it out of the box like kids do. You're like, no.
Dude, you're sick, bro. I'm not the Scrooge here. You are.
Oh, man, I think that would be I would love that Christmas. No, and then our meat, but Kaylee's side of the family, it's still just. Everybody buys for everybody.
It's a
but
tough
they
one.
Were a small family too. They had two kids, and then they so everybody buys for everybody. And Kaylee, it'll be from me and Kaylee to Ben and Kelsey. That's my brother and sister in law. So I don't have to buy one for him and then one for her, and then they, you know, vice versa. But
yeah,
how many gifts does Ella get from Santa?
She'll get, I think we do like the one main gift and then a bunch of little stocking stuffers.
Anything from you and Kaylee?
No.
Really?
We don't believe in that.
Wait, what?
We just, Santa Claus can take care of it. We don't buy her anything. Yeah, of course. You know, I'm pretty sure my wife's probably got her like 8 things. I'm pretty sure, but it's still pretty simple where coloring books are good. And
yeah, no, at her age.
But she wants, this year, she wants a baby doll.
I think she needs a karaoke machine.
She has one.
Like an industrial size one.
Oh, like a commercial?
Yeah, dude.
I don't know if you get a 2-year-old a commercial karaoke
machine. She may have that for the rest of her life, dude.
You can go to Sam's.
I think she'll probably dump milk on it and ruin it. And then it costs me 14 grand. Yeah, no, the kids definitely will get spoiled from grandma and grandpa's. And
where will you do it at your home? At
Kaylee's mom's house in their basement. We always do it there. And then they do, I was talking to a friend of mine today about it. They do like, they kind of have their own little family tradition where they got 2 Santa Claus hats, and whoever wears those hats has to pass out the
gifts.
We used to do so that. When they give it to him, like, never put that on my head again. And I just sit there in the dark corner by myself. But we have dinner, and then everybody just starts, once they're passed out, we don't do like the whole go around, and that takes forever.
So you do the kids first and then?
No, everybody just has a free for all. Yeah. Once they're out, everybody just starts tearing into stuff. My mom and dad used to make us go by age, like oldest to youngest.
Oldest first?
Yeah, the oldest. And then, so
it'd be, how do you get dad, the young ones to sit there and wait?
Well, there was no grandkids then. It was like when it was just us.
Oh, you were like teenagers.
Yeah. Yeah, it was oldest to youngest. And then now everybody's so spread out. Like my brother does their own thing. Like we'll have our normal family Christmas. That's just a family. That's more of a potluck deal anyways, and just get together. And then they have me do a little 10-minute sermon deal. But it sucks because every year it's like somebody else died. So I'm like, another one bites the dust. You know, it's like, and then I'm people are bawling, and I'm like, I'm never going to be able to do a real positive get to do, you know, because they always wanted like the family unit and meeting. And when my uncle died, or was it, he might have still been alive. He died like 3 weeks later. It was, I did something on like keeping family together and the importance of that and scriptures and stuff. And everybody's just, aah! I'm like, oh, great.
Yeah.
And then he died. So then I had to do the next Christmas one. Well, you know, da da da. Now, then my cousin was murdered. So now this is one. He died in April. Oof. So,
wow.
That's this Christmas, so I'm like, y'all can take a break.
Yeah.
With the dying.
It's hard. Great. It's hard during the holiday season because you remember the ones that are no longer there with you celebrating.
Right, and it's really rough. Like I said, today I was thinking to myself, like, you know, every holiday podcast, and we still got, hopefully we get to do one more podcast before.
Yeah, I think
we, because the next Wednesday after that is Christmas.
Oh, it is?
Day.
Yeah.
And the kids are like, so are we going to have youth group or what? And I'm like, no. They're like, why?
Because it's kind of cool. They want to spend a year at Christmas here.
So, but I was thinking like, man, this time of year can be tough. And are we doing our jobs as Christians to be there, and are we praying for the right things? I mean, as Christians, you always hear like, what's the real reason for the season? Well, yeah, we get that. We know this is, we celebrate our Savior's birth. We're celebrating the fact that Christ came to earth, fully man, fully God. We know that. But are we focusing on the brothers and sisters that are really going through it? Whether it be financially, whether it be, you know, not being able to buy gifts.
This is the same as financially.
Yeah. Or is it they lost somebody this year?
Yeah.
this first Christmas without somebody. There's all kinds of different reasons. 75. I read that the statistic was that depression and a mental shift happens to over 75% of the population in the United States during the holiday.
75%.
Not necessarily making a deep down depression, but a mental shift that goes along the line. So you might not be full blown out depressed, but you're not as chipper as you were.
Well, it could be a shift into happiness too.
Yeah.
Right. No, this was specifically for people like going sad. Yeah.
Dang.
I didn't look up the statistics.
Only 25% of people are happy.
It's what it says when it comes. But do you think about it? How many of those people are believers, unbelievers? Because even believers get depressed, that's for sure. But we live in a financially driven world where it's all about the gift, price of the gift, inflation,
mm-hmm.
Can't afford groceries, can't afford to go see family, can't do this, can't do that. Oh, my wife bought me a flat screen and all I can get her is a quilt. You know, it's all that stuff goes into factor. I wish that we could, I mean, I like getting stuff just as much as the next guy. And I like to buy gifts for people that are good. But I wish we could get back to just like
traditional Christmas.
Yeah. And yes, we need to be as Christians celebrating our Savior's birth, the reason for the season, out there evangelizing and touching on those key scriptures in Matthew and Luke and everything where we talk about our Savior's coming. But we also need to make sure that the family unit is intact. And that we're not only just preaching, but we're loving our neighbors, as it says in Matthew, to love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
To do those kind of things. I think that that's really missing because we're too focused on the materialistic facts of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then we get after Christmas, we do these New Year's. Next year's going to be different.
Yeah, I don't like those.
Save my money.
I don't like those New Year revolutions, whatever they're called, or
revolution.
New Year, new me.
We know what Theo's doing.
So, Theo, I have a question for you. What you said, you know, traditional Christmas, what is that to you?
Just celebrating the birth of our Savior, not focusing all on everything on gifts and making our children believe that that's what Christmas is truly about. That's just a year,
a season
when we get toys and all that kind of stuff. But when there's really a deeper meaning behind Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Theo could relate to this. I don't know about you guys so much. But you guys, Domestos as a family unit, is who will be at your house at Christmas, probably Auntie Sylvia and... You know, that they're all a group of believers already.
Yeah.
Like you're not going to have a huge household or a family of people that are like, let's not talk about that. Where like when I, and that's the same thing with my wife and her family and with my mom and dad. But when I go to the normal Christmas,
there's some divisions, isms, and schisms.
Yeah, for sure. And so,
how does that mean? Hold on. What is isms and schisms?
I don't know.
Like Rick says that.
What does that look like in your house, Theo? Does your mom always just taking control and saying, we're going to talk about Christ a little bit? Or is it just not brought up at the dinner table while you're doing Christmas?
It's not really brought up.
I'm not picking on you.
Your whole family? Like
it used to be very big, yes. We used to have, so my grandmother, before she passed, and she had 5 brothers.
Dang.
Yeah. And then.
Does that make them your uncle?
Great uncles.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then when I was younger, we used to have a big family Christmas dinner and all that. And then Thanksgivings were pretty big. And then there was a couple family fights that kind of broke that up. And
really?
Yeah.
like there were that big of fights mm-hmm. where it stopped.
Yeah, pretty much.
So that's what kind of what you're talking about, right? Yeah. I'm like, I mean, our family, yeah. me and Brandon's family, we're blessed. Like, we've had our ups and downs with some individuals, myself and being one of them sometimes. But, like, we're very tight-knit.
Well, the family is close, but you're just not there. It's got its ups and downs when it comes to, you know, talking on Christ or keeping it centered on Christ. And it leans a little bit more towards this is a party.
Yeah, that's
that can lose too much.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, for sure. You know, and like I said, I'm not downing anybody or
no.
saying that that is a huge problem. It's just,
I mean, it is a birthday party.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's like
you ever been to a quinceañera?
Somebody to take you home party.
Oh yeah.
It turns into that's more the focus than anything.
Yeah, you'll lose sight of what you're celebrating really quick with that. I
mm-hmm.
think. I mean,
right, and that's okay. It's just
yeah,
yeah. I don't know if the little ones at those parties are getting anything of why we're even doing that.
They're just enjoying the festive,
right?
Like and I don't remember growing up any like conversation about.
No, and that's Christ, no. And I think like the that's prayer, the problem.
The prayer, yeah. Like,
I think we need to be
and
bringing these little ones up in
here. The yeah. biggest memory I have that involved Christ was coming to church,
right,
for the candlelit service.
Oh yeah, yeah, and that's
like that was huge. Again. That's always been huge for me, and you know. I feel like it's important that I bring my son to that.
Yeah. Tuesday, the 24th, yeah, 5 p.m.
5:30.
No, if you show up at 5:30, you're going to be very upset because it's going to be half over. Starts at 5 p.m.
Well, I might have to show up early to that.
You're going to show up early?
Yeah.
Do you work on Christmas Eve?
No, I get 2 weeks off.
All right.
I'm using some PTO, Kevin.
All right.
Paid time off. I earned it. You know?
All right.
I'll give you some. You want some?
No. 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 I got plenty of time off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. PTO. Yeah. The plenty of time off.
Yeah. Plenty of time off. yeah. So, everybody's got family for the holidays. Everybody's coming to your mom and dad's.
Yeah, I think that's the decision this year. Like the year before that, we went to my sister's for Christmas.
Oh, you went up to Fort Collins?
We brought the whole family
up. Oh, wow. There, dude.
That was kind of an endeavor. Because it was right after Jay passed, too.
Oh, yeah.
So that was yeah. tough. But we got my aunt and my uncle to go out. I drove them all the way up to Fort Collins and, you know.
What did you sleep?
The Airbnb we got.
Oh, you got an Airbnb.
It was like three stories. And they stairs are not their friend.
Yeah.
They were still able to at that point pretty well. But, yeah, so it was good. I think... For the past few years, I've kind of gotten frustrated with it because,
yeah.
you know, my situation and with Jax, like he's not getting what I had.
Yeah.
Growing up as, you know, a mestis with the whole family. Like we always had huge parties, mm-hmm. huge parties for anything. We had any excuse to get together. We would, and we'd have like, I don't know. I felt like, always felt like there was like 20 people in our house.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. Do you feel that way, Brandon? Like it felt like that was
yeah.
the way that we grew up. And then it just, as you get older, that
slowly.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying now. Yeah.
And like, you know, yeah, people go off and do their thing.
Yeah.
All of us siblings are still kind of walking through the fields of
yeah, yeah.
loneliness and depression. But, you know, like, it's just weird to see, like, as a kid, I feel like you remember that stuff so
vividly,
and it made you feel such a type of way that, you know, like, this is amazing. Like,
yeah. When my grandmother was still alive, at Christmas Eve, and they lived in Peyton, Christmas Eve was in Peyton. And mm-hmm. That's where we had every Christmas Eve. That's when my mom's side of the family had their Christmas. And as a kid, I remember all of your uncles were there.
Yeah.
All cousins. Of your aunts, all of your cousins, everybody. It was just packed to the gills. And my grandmother would have us grandkids put on Christmas programs.
Oh, wow.
She would have us practice it like all week, and we would do songs, and she would make the costumes, and it would always be there. So then all the family would be sitting in the living room, and we'd be in the middle of the living room playing songs, reading Bible verses, doing little skits and plays.
And then, so this was your mom's
mom? My mom's mom. And then it was, you know, they moved to Lamar. We started going out there, but then the drive was a little longer. You didn't get as many people again. And then every year after that, obviously my grandma passed away. My grandfather passed away. Aunt passes away. Two uncles pass away. And it just gets smaller. To now, I think they're trying to make it a big deal again. But they invite like their family, friends.
Yeah.
And people for a big potluck.
It's hard.
But it's not that warm family
that we knew as a kid. Yeah.
That was at grandma's house, and the gifts were exchanged, and they had the funny gag gifts between the brothers and sisters that were the aunts and uncles, but they would do that. And then it's not that anymore. And it's hard because cousins then became adults. So technically my cousins are always like, I just don't understand why. I'm like, do you realize we are that age that they were now? Like, it's up to us,
I know,
to carry on that tradition.
Yeah.
But nobody, we still feel like we're the kids because our parents are still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's their job to do it. But now I've got cousins that live in by Washington, D.C. and Georgia and Texas and everywhere. So they're not just Colorado Springs. And that's the hard part. But it's at what point do we as adults now
step into that,
take role. That yeah. role and say, yeah. And a lot of it has to do with, because a lot of us, and this is no diss on us, but our parents were a little farther along than what we are now.
Like, they, yeah, had, why is that?
They had their, well, it was a different time then too, but they had their own homes. The homes were a little bigger. They had more of a family look and vibe to it.
Yeah.
Where a lot of us, I mean, I live in a little tiny house. My cousins, some of them are renting, and there's no grandma's house really anymore. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I kind of feel guilty that, like, you know, I have the ability to do that, or mm-hmm. not the ability, the space, and, you know, I should be going all out and having the tree and having it, the party at yeah. my house where yeah. my son is.
Yeah.
Cause I'm the one with the kid.
Yeah.
I'm the one with the next generation, and I don't do anything.
No.
I sit there like, yeah, Mimi's got it all.
My wife.
And I'm like, that's not how it's supposed to be.
My wife has more Christmas decorations than a Hobby Lobby.
Dang. His whole house, bro.
Well, yeah, no, just in even stored, like we could take the decorations down every day and put new ones up
for the whole month. December.
Yeah.
Wow.
She, I don't have to worry about her hearing this, because just the other day she was like, do you guys, because I told her I was excited about, thank you guys for 12,000 views on YouTube. But she's like, I said, but they're like 1 minute clips. She's like, yeah, that makes sense. You guys are on there for like an hour and I can't even watch that long. And I was like,
ouch.
And she's like, I didn't mean it like that, but who has time? And I'm like, I went to bed. Dude. I was like, there's never been a time where you're like on cloud nine and then, yeah, it makes sense. You got that much mini views. You're only on for a minute. All right.
I mean, there's some science to that.
Yeah.
There's some science to that because, like, I don't listen to podcasts that much anymore.
I do.
The only time I do is when I can give it my undivided attention.
Right. Well, but to see now, the channel itself, though, grew by 12 new subscribers where we were not getting one for a year and a half.
Yeah.
Those 1 minute.
And all I did was make a 1 minute video that said, please subscribe to our channel.
Please.
And that got 560 views in 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, where was I going with that?
No idea. But anyways, no, dude, it sucks because yeah, there's a time in,
like, oh, it's
hard to accept. Yeah, we're talking about that, but it's hard to accept the fact that the torch has to be passed.
Yeah. And then they don't give a crap.
And it's up to us and our generation that we're all a part of is like stupid.
It's weird though too,
yeah, because even though we don't mean it, like, yeah,
you guys still have a grandma. I don't anymore.
Yeah.
I have one left, so
well,
cherish it.
Now yeah.
No, but I don't look at my mom as grandma. You know what I mean?
So well, yeah,
I don't have that grandma that's putting on the family functions anymore.
Yeah.
The grandma that was that glue to the family unit.
Yeah.
Unit. And so
you hear that, mom?
Yeah.
Which camera do I look at? You hear that?
Yeah. Well, you still have.
Where you at, grandma?
You have Christmas at your.
Well, I know that that's for Jax. Yeah. So yeah. She's doing good job.
But, yeah, and she was the little sweet old lady with the short gray hair, and yeah, it's not the same anymore. You had grandma and grandpa kind of sitting at the end or in the middle there and kind of directing traffic and make sure food was out and telling stories.
She do all the cooking and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she'd do all of it. And then, yeah, just. And so now when you go to Christmas, you're just like, I saw you guys yesterday. Like, big whoop. No, but it's just not that faint that like.
Well, there's something to that too. It's like
sitting at the table,
moved away from your family,
right?
Like getting together like that is like so much better because you don't see them every day. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The problem is there's people that moved away now. They don't come. So
yeah,
you put it together and it's the same people that you see every day. You know?
Yeah.
Could have stayed at home and you could have just called me.
FaceTime.
Yeah, but no, it's I missed the big, but like you said, yeah, the torch had to be passed and we're just falling short of getting the ball rolling, getting the word out there. Hey guys, this is what I'm thinking. Let's do this.
Do you think that's because, you know, obviously the family like structure is deteriorated.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, there's a lot of blended families. There's a lot of, you know.
A little bit, but I think a lot of it is how we were brought up is changed.
Yeah.
The family unit started a lot quicker for my grandma and grandpa.
Yeah, yeah.
They had to grow up a lot faster than we did. So by the time they were already grandma and grandpa, they had achieved 100 times more than what we could ever fathom.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is true.
And the family unit meant that much more to them. I'm not saying it doesn't mean anything to us, but it meant that much more to keep that glue together.
Because they worked so hard.
They knew.
Yeah.
To where everything is at our fingertips.
Yeah.
They grew up where they couldn't call people every day.
Yeah.
They grew up when they couldn't just get on the cell phone. They actually had to, you know, and hey.
Yeah, there's no caller ID. So I'm not going to answer that. It's Adam calling.
There was more excitement in getting everybody together because some people you might not have seen for a whole year.
Yeah.
Where I might not physically see a cousin for a whole year, but I can FaceTime her. You know, I can.
Who is that comedian call her. Talking about, like, how excited they would get when the doorbell would ring?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who was that, dude? It's a good skit. Like, but it's true. Like,
yeah.
As a kid, you're like, who's coming to the door?
Yeah. Well, when the phone would ring in the kitchen, the and phone, you're like, dude, who's calling on the phone? And yeah. So that element of excitement and getting everybody together is kind of faded because you can talk to somebody anytime you want to. You can text them anytime you want to. You can send pictures. You can hop on social media.
Yeah.
You already know what they've done all year long because they posted it on social media. Mm-hmm. So there's not that need to sit down, break bread, and say, how has your year been? Wow, the kids have grown.
Right, right.
I can't believe how big they've gotten. Wow, this is crazy. That's in the past. Because we are in a generation of right now. We had a young man come fix the Dish Network. I didn't even know our Dish Network was still on. And come fix it at my house the other day. And he said he was part of Generation Z. And I was asking him about the downfall of DirecTV and Dish Network. Like if it's real, if he can notice it with streaming. He's like, yeah, a little bit. He's like, but he's like a young man. I'm like, we had to throw that out there, a young guy. A young man bought out Dish Network because Dish Network ended up owing a whole lot of money and they weren't making any money.
Who? To who? China?
To whoever. Investor. I don't know. Whatever. And he said, so the guy told Dish Network, and he had 75% stock in DirecTV already. He said, I will pay off all of your debt and buy your company for a dollar. So the debt was like millions. So this young guy paid millions of their dollars, their debt off, paid them a dollar, and then became the CEO of Dish Network.
Wow. And
he's already 75% owner in DirecTV, so he basically owns that.
Corner of the market.
And so, so now he's going to merge DirecTV and Dish Network together because one can't survive. They can't survive against each other because streaming is taking over everything.
Whoa, yeah.
So it's the same thing that happened to Sirius and XM. Though those were two separate satellite radios.
And then they merged.
Then they had to merge together because Pandora came out.
Streamers.
Yeah, Spotify, all that.
Wow.
So it'll be in the next 3 or 4 years when you'll actually see the merge. But he was pretty smart. He's like, yeah, I'm Gen Z, so I am the generation of I want it right now. Because I asked him, do you think this will totally die off? And he's like, as of right now, we're actually still pretty busy with the boomers and Generation X because they're still living in a generation where they don't want all the streaming because they don't want to spend the time to find what they want to watch. They want the menu that's on DirecTV to tell them what they're going to watch.
At what time?
Yeah.
Like my grandmother had the TV guide. She looked to see what was going to be on. So she looked forward to Wednesday because this was going to be on. Same thing with DirecTV. You can't just really pick what you're going to, you can pick what you're going to watch, but if you're watching TNT, you're going to watch what's on that time slot.
Yeah.
You can't skip over because this is coming on at 10:30. You want to watch it right now. You can't do that.
You got to get through the others first.
They still like the old fashioned, I'm going to watch what this is because it's on right now. And I looked forward all day to seeing this.
Yeah.
Where Gen Z is like, I want to watch the whole series now.
Yeah.
I want to binge watch. I want to pop around and I want to pick what I want to watch. Mm-hmm. And so that it's just goes along with what we're talking about. The family is not as tight anymore because
it's all at our fingertips
of who's doing what. I remember writing letters when I was a kid. I wrote a letter. We were in a 4-H exchange group. We went to South Carolina, North Carolina. And then this little girl, we were like 15, wrote me a letter. And I was like, and she was a cute girl, you know? And I'm like, so then I write her a letter. I have to wait a whole other week. But I,
how did you know her address or where to send it to?
Because we were in the 4-H exchange where you had like a Rolodex of everybody's names and not a role. You know what I mean?
Dude,
like,
I have.
Like we have a church directory.
I wrote, the last time I wrote a letter was to a girl.
Yeah, this.
And I got heartbroken so bad because of this letter.
Yeah.
I never did again.
Like, but I remember sprinting.
It was so bad, dude.
Sprinting to the mailbox. Waiting for that letter.
If you hear this, Rachel, you hurt me.
but wrote letters back and forth, and then going to get your pictures developed.
Sprint to the mailbox. Remember doing that? You said,
yeah, to go see if the letter came back. Like she wrote a letter back.
So what, she just walked to your mailbox and put
it
in there.
She lived in North Carolina, so she wrote a letter. Put it in the mailbox.
How
the postal service.
Each other?
Dude, Brandon, I don't think he listened to the whole story. So, I was in what was called the 4-H exchange program.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yep. They took a bunch of us young kids and sent us to North Carolina to stay with other families.
Reliving trauma. I'm sorry.
The families would all do the same activities. So everybody got to know each other for a week. We all had like a directory like the church has in the 4-H exchange.
But their addresses.
Yes. So she sent me a letter.
She postal found service. Your address and said you were.
Yes, because everybody had each other's addresses. She sent me a letter saying, hey, you know, I thought you were pretty cute, kind of cool. And that young love, I live in Calhoun, Colorado. I'm Greensboro, North Carolina.
And like remember her name?
I don't remember.
Like, no, in that moment, like as a kid, you were like,
Yeah. And I remembered, oh man, she was the cute girl. No way.
You're showing all your buddies. Look at this, dude.
No, because I didn't have anybody.
Oh, no.
But it was in the summertime, and then you would take. Like you would take a selfie of yourself and then go develop it at Walmart and then stick it in your letter, send it.
Oh, whoa.
We didn't even have cell phones.
Going back far.
There was no camera phones back then.
How would you take a selfie?
Oh, with the camera.
Dude, I remember.
Yes, that time. Yeah, go get the dollar cameras and then take it, drop it off at Walmart and wait.
Yeah.
Go do the 20. The 48-hour or whatever,
dude. I want
2-hour processing. Look at
that picture of young Adam doing a selfie. Like, yeah, OG, that was
with like a beach hat, no shirt. I think I got that picture at home still.
You do?
Yeah,
good.
But I sent it, and then she would send a picture of her family or whatever. I'm like, good family. But that's how you did it. But you didn't. You couldn't call because it was long distance. So you just wrote letters.
Wow. I think
I missed that. Dude, that was so like
innocent.
You thoughtfully had to think what you were going to write because it was going to take a week to get there. So you write 2-page letter of everything that you were doing that week and what's going on. And you had to think about it. You couldn't just send a 2-sentence text.
Yeah.
You just had to send the letter and then fold it up and put a stamp on it. And then they would send a letter back. Maybe you get a picture or something. It was just
different times,
man. Yeah. Like there's no emotion in anything anymore. You know what I mean? There's like,
or there's you overread too much.
Yeah.
Like you read into those one line texts.
Yeah.
Too much.
Yeah. I do remember when I was in school, I think my third grade year was the last year we learned cursive. Writing checks, writing letters, how a bank.
I think they taught you writing checks in school?
Yeah. Yep. My third grade year was checks, cursive, how a bank works, and all that.
Did they tell you to file your taxes too?
I don't remember if they did or not.
They didn't teach us none of that.
They didn't teach me any of that, but no, they didn't teach me how to file taxes, but I do remember.
It's like the worst thing.
We had to build a little town. We had to build. Banks and all that. Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like we had little cardboard cutouts of a school, a government office, a bank, and all that. And we had to present it.
I feel like I kind of remember that too.
Mm-hmm. Diorama? I think so. I think that's what it was called. Yeah.
Diorama.
Yeah, I know. They don't even teach. I don't think they even teach how to write letters anymore in school.
Yeah, like I, yeah. Yeah, they have the return address at the top left.
And then your address and then the stamp.
Well, yeah. Yeah, and you got to have stamps.
I've been using a lot of stamps lately.
You're mailing stuff?
Yeah, mailing support letters to businesses. But
No wonder nobody responded. Who uses snail mail anymore?
A lot of people.
Really?
Yeah, a lot. I remember having to talk on the phone in the kitchen of my house to friends or girls or whatever.
With the cord?
Even if it wasn't, my mom
had to stay in the kitchen. You're all twisted up in it, like,
hey. Yeah, even if it was a cordless phone, we weren't allowed to take it to our room. You had to stay in the kitchen.
Wow.
And so you'd just be talking to your girl.
What's up, girl?
But your dad would be sitting, like the way our house was.
We had a family room. He would say something ridiculous.
What did Adam say? We would have it was a family room when you walked in, and then it was the kitchen, and then it was the like a TV room. So you'd be by the phone, and your dad was just in the TV room, like 10 feet, like not even 10 feet away, 4 or 5 feet away in his recliner watching TV. And you're just like, yeah. Yeah, needless to say, you didn't make a lot of phone calls because it was embarrassing.
Yeah.
But now, like I said, and that's all down to it now. It's you go and do these family things, and it's nice to see people face to face. But at the same time, it's like, I know everything that you've been doing. I've watched your kids grow up on a screen.
Yeah.
There's no like, what happened to your hair? You know, like nothing. Like it's like, you got fat or whatever. Like you already know. There's no surprise.
Did you know I gave or Jax one got a mullet?
I saw. Yeah, because you put his haircut
for 27 minutes.
Oh, what happened?
It was like, who let this happen? I'm like, Hamlin chewed what he wants to choose.
Who said that?
His mom.
Oh,
I'm like, there was a little friction there because my mom did not like it. Mima did not like it. And that's why I think he did it, because they're like, hey, don't get this haircut. And then he was like, I was like, you can get a mullet. He's like, no.
Yeah.
And then they were like, yeah, don't get a mullet. Mullets are gross and ugly or whatever. And then we get to the barber and he's like, I want a mullet. I'm like, are you sure? He's like, yeah. I'm like, are you sure? Yeah, give me a mullet. Like,
okay. All right, yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah. But then he's like, didn't even care after that. Like, mom didn't want to have any more. He's like, okay, whatever. I don't want it. Like, all right, dude. But.
What? I had a mohawk his age.
Yeah, dude, me too. That's what I feel like. I'm like talking about, like,
and you guys let me do like, that. Nobody like, really cared for it, but they didn't make me get a different haircut.
Yeah, dude. That's how I felt it was for me too.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's a big difference.
Like, who cares?
Yeah, I don't know.
Today's generation.
It's all about the looks, bro.
Theo, did you try to grow a mullet?
I did. I had two.
You had two mullets at the same time?
No, I had two. I had one.
How does that work?
I had one, and then I cut it off, and then a couple of years after that, I tried it again.
Is this recently?
Pretty recent, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say the mullet trend came back pretty.
Yeah, with a fiery passion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get to have
one. I don't know. We just live in such different times, dude.
I didn't get to have one. When I was a kid, but not when I was an adult.
Well, I don't think adults really should have mullets.
But I would have liked to do it. Just to say I could. But if I did, I'll look like Monty.
That's a different kind of haircut, dude.
I know, but that's what my hair would look like if I tried to go that far.
Yeah.
Hey,
man, he loud and proud, dude.
Yes.
Like the guys that do that, I'm like, bro, you really have disassociated with what people think. And I respect that for real. Like, to be honest, because I'm like, hey, man, if like, I'm not going to be like, oh, your hair, your head's ugly.
Yeah.
Like, well, you know, they don't care.
He just doesn't care.
And head, your head's not ugly, Monty. You're never going to see it. People that do that, it's just like, hey, man. Send it.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
I don't know. It's just weird. This day and age is very technologically advanced. Yeah. It's advanced and it's
we got very
AI around the corner where it's, you know, I'm watching these videos of the, like, they just released the new AI video bot or whatever.
Yeah.
They're freaky, bro. Mm-hmm. They look, they're hyper realistic. Okay. So then you're kind of like, that looks too good
to be true. Yeah. But
still, dude.
Yeah.
Like, there was one where this like newscaster, and I'm like, what the heck? This is a real person, but it wasn't. It's not a real person. And you're like, it's just crazy.
And it's advancing fast, too.
It's gonna.
No, I think that family traditions need to be brought back.
How do we do that in this?
I think it's just what we have to do. We as parents that have young kids have the power to create
that unity.
Traditions and get-togethers and family unit things, even with broken families. My mom was married 3 times, and my brothers had to bounce from their dads to ours. So the traditions ended up being Christmas Eve was at my mom's house. And then Christmas Day was for my brothers to go to their dad's.
Oh, they didn't spend the day with you?
No, they just did. Christmas Eve was our Christmas.
Oh, so you would open presents and stuff like that?
Everything on Christmas Eve.
What would you do on Christmas Day?
Just hang out at home and
play with your gifts. Toys that you got?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's something that Jack said to me tonight. He's like, I get to have 2 Christmases. I'm like, did you write Santa about that? He's like, no, I'm not writing a letter. Like,
all right.
Yeah. No.
It's even worse when you don't want to write letters at my age. These young kids, they don't want to. I'm like, did you write Santa a letter? No. I just told the elf to go tell them.
Yeah, which is kind of cool. Like my mother-in-law's keeping that family tradition with them going. I mean, obviously things change when you get married, so the Christmas Eve at mom's house doesn't really happen anymore, but everybody's married. My middle brother's married, I'm married. So we have I guess it's Christmas Day at my mother-in-law's house, because Christmas Eve is, we did have Christmas Eve at my brother's house, but I guess we're not going to do that this year. But I'll be here at church.
Yeah. I think that's that's like a super important.
Yeah, for sure.
To be a part of, because it's so, I don't know.
And you got to get over this whole, I don't go to a church. Like, stop. I am so sick of hearing people say that.
Yeah, it's.
I don't go to a church.
After COVID, dude, that really, I think, was the biggest part of people, like, staying away.
Well, staying away, and people are hurt by religion. So if you don't go to a church, it's probably because it's not that you don't go to a church. You don't go to a church that you didn't like. So try a different church. Yeah.
Find something that you like.
They're not all the same. And I get it all the time. Oh, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. You're absolutely right. But it tells us in Hebrews not to forsake the assembling of one another.
Mm-hmm.
We need to fellowship. We need to, iron sharpens iron. And, well, I should have church anyways. Are you?
Digital church.
No, that I'm not buying into the digital church. If you're sick, it's great. If you're out of town and you want to stay in, plugged into your local church, it's great. But it's not an excuse for you to lay on your couch every day and just watched. You're not getting fellowship.
No.
You're not and shaking the, hands.
That's a tough thing, too, is that people don't go out.
No, and they got to stop. Like
people that can't.
Elderly.
People that can't. Yeah,
people that can't. Elderly, that's what digital church is for. People who can't get around really easy, that's what it's for. But we as a church need to be going and checking in on these people, shaking hands, hugging on them, loving on them, but we don't. And the people that are just, if you are 25 years old and you're on your couch in your PJs and not getting into church because it's not your thing or you're an introvert, shut up. Like, get out. Get into a church.
Yeah.
Like, I am so sick of this stuff. And now that I'm in the ministry and I'm on the front lines for God, I'm like, stop crying like a little baby. I don't want to be around people.
That's a big issue too.
That is a big thing. You need to be around other people too.
Men, like the young kids these days have been told every day, like toxic masculinity is bad.
Yeah.
Don't be a man.
Stop being a
pain. Don't be a man. And then like, that's why I think something that happened, I don't want to bring up politics, but that's why we're where we're at now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because boys were finally like, I'm tired of being told that I'm the problem.
Yeah.
Why am I the reason that we're in this predicament?
Yeah.
I'm just a kid. This is being handed down to me.
Yeah.
I'm
just a kid and my life is a nightmare.
What is that? Is that Blink-182?
No, I think it's No Effect.
Some 40.
No. Newfound Glory. No, not bullying. That's 1985.
Dude, who is it? Jamie? Who is it?
Don't worry about going in on me.
I'm just kidding. Life is a nightmare. That's the lyrics.
Yeah, it is.
Dang, bro.
Simple plan.
Dang it.
Yeah, no. So I think, yeah, dude, I think that's our holiday thing. Got to get the family unit back. We got to make Christ the center of that family unit. And I think that's the most important thing. Let's get back to the old days. Maybe put down the devices for just an hour or two.
Yeah.
Fellowship with your brother and sister in Christ. Get into a church. I'm not telling you what church to get into. I'm telling you to get into a church. Fellowship with your brothers and sisters. Shake some hands. Get off the couch.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Get off the couch this Christmas Eve. I guarantee there's a candlelight service somewhere in your community. Get in it.
Mm-hmm.
Just go.
It will and then change keep going. Your life.
Keep going, dude. Rick get said it this Sunday. Like, it doesn't have to just be on Christmas that we do this.
No, he said that in Bible study last night, too. He's like, it's those check-the-box Christians of Easter and Christmas Eve.
That's complacency, guys.
Because this church will be fuller than it has been all year on Christmas Eve.
It's been full the past few Sundays, huh?
Yeah, it's getting fuller. Like,
yeah.
I think there's a revival happening in this country. I really do. Rick had a sermon and he taught how, I don't know, what was the percentage? Look up Bible sales this year.
Oh, I think he said it was like 2.1 million.
Yeah.
13.7. Oh, it's gone up.
13.7 million Bibles sold in 2024.
Is the Bible still the best seller?
Well, it is right now for sure. But that's how many new sales of Bibles. 13.7 million.
Does it say why?
Because people are turning back to God. Like, something's happening, bro.
They're
tired of it, man. Gen Z, they're going, we got a mess. We got left a big dumpster fire.
I also think people are starting to open up their eyes and realize what is actually going on around them, too.
Millennials jacked it up, bro.
That's where that verse that we just talked about, Theo.
Yeah. Oh, wait, it was Proverbs.
Proverbs.
3, 5, and 7.
1,
okay.
32 through 33.
Yeah.
For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm.
Solomon was a wise man.
Dude. That's why
I memorized that Proverbs just last week. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord.
Dang, he had it.
Turn
up,
from
dude.
Evil.
Nice, bro.
Oh, yeah, you got that one. Yeah.
I mean, it's huge because I feel like we can get complacent and not even realize it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like we just sit there like, oh, yeah, I'm fine. This is fine. I'm great. I believe in Jesus. I'm doing what I can, you know, with the time that I have. And then we look at it and you're like,
And then when you get into that mindset, that's when you start backsliding.
Yeah, dude. And you make excuses it's fine. It was a moment. Yeah. If I just sleep a little bit in later today. Yeah.
And then it'll just progress.
Are you still doing that book? Are you doing that book?
I haven't gotten the book yet.
Are you still doing it?
What book?
The
SoulCon?
Yeah, that's that one.
Yeah, I'm getting back into it because I got sick. Yeah, sinus infection.
Sinus?
Mm-hmm.
Spinal.
I'm still getting over it, but I'm getting.
Dude, I need to get one of those books.
Yeah, Rick's buying them for everybody right now. He got them for.
Is Todd. He doing it?
Yeah, he's doing it.
Todd's doing it.
Trevor and Ty, and then he showed me their group message, and they were going through it. Todd's all about it.
Yeah, he's gonna lead that.
But I think Trevor's like, probably not gonna do that. But it's SoulCon, but I don't know, man. It's good. Family unit. Gotta get it back.
You know, there's someone at my work I could give one of those books to.
Yeah.
Actually, there's
Cody
two.
Bobé.
Is it for new Christians or no?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's to train your mind how to.
Or if they're not Christians yet, maybe?
Yeah. It'll definitely get them to. Listen to this guy's story and everything. And
because isn't it his testimony basically in one?
A lot of it. Yeah. It's just how to retrain your mind to get it off that junk that we all get into every day.
Brandon, would you do it?
He's shaking his head.
I mean, it would be great to get going on something like that.
Yeah, it is. And there's a lot of
takes you out of your comfort zone because then you won't be complacent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And once you're complacent, man, it's so easy to just stay there.
Mm-hmm. Because you get comfortable there again.
Yeah. You're like, I don't need to get out of this. But yeah, you do. You want to be destroyed, you fool?
What'd you say?
What do you think I said?
You say you want to be destroyed, you fool? I don't know, man. Well, fellas, let's get together one more time before the holidays.
Yes.
Next episode will be our Christmas
special.
The Christmas special.
Ooh, is Brandon going to sing?
Brandon's going to sing "Oh Holy Night."
Ooh.
And then we may get a camera on Brandon next week if he will show up here, and he'll be in his.
No, that's gonna make him not come, dude.
He'll be in.
We're not gonna get a camera.
We're gonna put a.
We're just gonna look like baby.
Yeah, we're gonna put a robe on him, and he's gonna be in the stable. I got that backdrop. It's like a barn.
Stable. Yeah, dude.
We're gonna put Brandon in the stable.
Hey, are you doing
reporting?
Something?
He's gonna be reporting live from the stable.
Are you a part of the Christmas program?
No.
You're not reading or anything?
No.
Nothing?
No. It's just the kids.
Oh dang. It's we've got like program. What DJ and Talia.
I don't know what they're doing. I don't know. They're just doing that. And we got the parade this weekend. Parade of lights.
Oh, yeah. When are we doing choir?
That's caroling. Easter. Oh, caroling is Tuesday. This coming Tuesday.
This Tuesday?
And then no more Bible study until January the 7th. So we'll be caroling
this Tuesday?
Yeah.
was hoping it was going to be on my one of my weeks off.
No, it's this coming Tuesday.
Because then I could bring Jax, but...
I think it's the 17th. So...
Yeah, the past few times I've gone to that, well, I think I missed last year's.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before that, it was great, man.
That's something. Yeah, we did it a couple of years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get out of your comfort zone, dude. Go out there and...
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. So, once again, guys, if you want to support the podcast, go to myfca.org. FCA.org or scan the QR code on the screen.
SSC on that?
Yeah, I can, but...
Because I feel like people might like see them, but...
Yeah, but here you go. If you donate to FCA, that's my ministry that I'm... Not my ministry, but it's a ministry that I'm working for right now. That money goes to me. That money goes to me, and I fund the podcast. So you are supporting the podcast by donating. That's my job, the ministry, to go out, reach all these high school kids, all these high schools, communities, things like that, going out there, building, advancing the kingdom, all that for Christ. If you scan the QR code, you support me, you support the podcast.
Yep.
It's all you got to do is support that the podcast by scanning that QR code today or going to FCA.org, typing in my name, Adam Tipton.
Another side note is that it also supports a youth group.
It does.
Yeah,
it does. Not just this podcast. It's
youth group.
Streets
youth groups across Southern Colorado. And FCA is a worldwide organization. So it's a legit fellowship of Christian athletes. Scan that QR code. You're doing it. It's a huge service. By doing that, it gets us to get better quality cameras, lighting, all kinds of stuff. We only can get better with your guys' help. So with that being said, Theo, take us out of here, man.
If you're going to talk about it, be about it.